afternoon, everyone. My name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. We're in a series that we have entitled The New Testament Challenge. So hopefully this morning when you came through the doors, you've gotten a reading schedule for the month of July. We're hoping that all of you guys are keeping up with this reading schedule. If you have not, that's all right. Start this month. Take that schedule that you have. Let's start this month. We've been challenging this whole summer that we would read the entire New Testament really in 9 weeks. Everybody doing all right with that? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs medium. In there somewhere. Well, what we're doing is we're preaching through the major themes of the New Testament. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 today. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 17 through 18. It says this. It says, if children, he's talking about you and I being children of God. He says, if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, or I'm sorry, heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Really, as a pastor, it's very challenging when you tell your church that you're going to preach through the major themes of the New Testament. Because what ends up happening is you come to themes that you would often like to skip over. Themes that are very challenging. Themes that are difficult to communicate. And then one of those themes that we're going to talk about today is kind of difficult for us to talk about, but it really is fundamental, really, to the Christian faith. It's difficult to me because I'm a very positive person. I tell Pastor Richard all the time, if there's any bad news, you deal with it. Don't even tell me about it. You just take care of it. But we all wish that, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I may be like that and I wish everything operated like that. It doesn't. We face difficult things. We face bad news in our life, don't we? So as we talk, one thing I want you to know is I want to be very sensitive in the words that I use in communicating to you today. Because many of us have gone through very difficult situations, very tough circumstances. Maybe something that has happened in the past or maybe something currently that we're facing now. And as I talk, what can begin to happen is you begin to think, because I'm talking about us, what I'm going to talk today, it's going to be like there's a target that we're hitting toward, that we're moving towards. Some place we're trying to get in our own souls. Some of you might not be there. Listen, that's all right. Because when we face difficult situations, difficult circumstances, it changes the way sometimes our heart, sometimes how our heart believes and feels, sometimes the way we think. And some of us, we know where we need to get to, but we're not there yet. And what can happen in that state is we receive a lot of condemnation. We condemn ourselves. We're frustrated at ourselves. But I want you to know it's okay if you're not there yet. If you don't have peace and contentment and whatever, you know, you've gotten through it, that's all right. The Bible says weeping may last for the night. But the problem is the night could be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. But it says joy will come in the morning. Hopefully today is your morning. If it's not, that's all right. Maybe your morning is another year down the road. That's okay. But what I want you to understand is this too shall pass. The darkness that you feel, the discouragement that you feel, I want you to know you're not always going to feel it. You're going to be able to get through whatever you're facing today. You know, when we go through these difficult times, what we need to first off understand is our response is our responsibility. My daddy always told me this. He said, son, you'll never lose unless you quit. That's the only way we can lose, friend, is that you and I throw in the towel and quit wherever we're at. Some of you might feel like that today. But my hope is that we begin to find that there actually is meaning and purpose to everything that you and I go through. But we have an enemy. He's called the accuser of the brethren, you and I. And his whole mission in life is to remind us of the bad things that are happening in our life. God's voice is not like that. God's voice is encouraging. God's voice is you're going to make it. God's voice is you're going to get through whatever you're facing. God's voice is you're not crazy. Some of us think that sometimes, don't we? Am I crazy? No, you're not. God's voice is even one, probably the most important thing is, I am with you. So if you haven't noticed, really, you can kind of tell from the verse that we read today, is the thing that we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about suffering. We're going to focus on walking with God in the furnace. Now, here's the good news. The good news is, according to the New Testament, that there is meaning and purpose to our suffering. Nothing that we face in life is wasted and not used by God for our good and the good of His mission and His plan for our life. Now, without Christ and His Word, suffering does not make sense. But with Christ and His Word, we see that suffering is really fundamental to the Christian faith. And it makes sense through the lens of Christianity. Christianity actually teaches, contra to Buddhism, contra to karma, or to secularism, that suffering is very real. It's overwhelming at times. That suffering is often unfair. But more importantly, and most importantly to you and I today, that what's going to encourage us is it has meaning. It has purpose. We're going to discover today that everything in life, good and bad, has meaning and is tied really to God's glory being revealed through us. That's odd. How can the glory of God shine through suffering? What type of God is that? Does that mean He allows things to happen, or He causes things to happen for His glory to come forth? We're going to answer some of those questions today. See, God's glory, God's goodness, His love and acceptance, it can come through suffering. And again, if we're not seeing that right now, that's all right. Let's keep on. We can't lose unless we quit. Eventually, you're going to see His goodness, His glory come through whatever you're walking through today. Now, what's important that we understand as we talk about this is that mortality, suffering, and pain, and hardship, they were not part of God's original design. God made everything perfect. The Bible tells us that when the Garden of Eden was created, when Adam and Eve were created, He looked at the world, and He looked at His creation, He said what? It is good. Everything He created was good. It was because of man's disobedience that brought suffering and pain into our world. Now, that's true, but listen, you can begin to think then, maybe what I'm facing, because that statement I just said is true, maybe then what I'm facing is because of my disobedience and God is getting revenge on me. Let me tell you something, that's not the kind of God we serve. God is not a God who gets revenge on His people. He gets revenge on evil, you better believe it. But He does not hang things over our head. He does not cause things to happen into our life so that He can get back at us. God's not mad at us. He's not holding things over our head. He loves us and He's there for you and I. Now, are there consequences to our actions? You better believe it. But God does not create pain and suffering. He does not cause that into our lives. Even though He can take it, though, Romans 8, if you continue to read, said He works all things together for the good of those. He can take it somehow in His sovereignty and how great and awesome that He is. He can turn it around for our good and the good of His plan. But even though He does that, let's be honest, there's suffering in our world. There's pain and suffering that some of us are experiencing in our lives. But you have to understand, because the pain is so real when we're walking through it, maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know. It could be a lot of things. But the pain is so real while we're walking through it. It's easy for you and I to begin to think that evil has the same power as God. Because we feel it, don't we? We feel it every day we wake up. We sense the heartache. We sense the brokenness. We sense that, man, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this. And so it's so real to us, it's easy for us to think that somehow evil and God, they have the same power. Now, if that were true, then life really is a crapshoot. It's a game of chance. But the Bible does not speak of such a world. See, God clearly tells us in His Word that He has an asymmetrical relationship to sin. That simply means that there's no symmetry, friend, between evil and God. God has complete power, complete control over evil, over anything that the Satan may bring. He has defeated him, and He rules and reigns over him. But if that's true, then why in the world do we face what we face? God, If you want to get glory, can you do it another way? I mean, do I have to go through this for you to get glory? Why can't you do it this way? See, these kind of questions, when we're going through these things, I call them the why questions. They arise on the inside of us. Why is this happening? Why has this happened? Lord, what's going on? Are you mad at me? Is there something I've done wrong? All of these questions begin to arise. But what's important about to understand about these questions or about these statements is that we're not the first to ask them. There was actually a man in the Bible. There was a whole book written about this man and his story. It's a real man with a real story. It's called the Book of Job. Now, the Book of Job is very difficult to read. Some of you guys have never read it. First off, it's like 45 chapters, I believe. So that's too long for your attention span's about that small. You can't put it in a, you know, a Facebook post, and so you're not going to read it. But the Book of Job is a tremendous story of a man just like you and I. He had a family. He had a great job. He had kids. He made a lot of money. He was just like us. But life happened to him. Pain and suffering came knocking on his door. And he had to realize that his response was his responsibility. See, in a moment, Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his job. He lost his finances. And he was very tempted. He was tempted, really, to begin to blame God. But what Job found out as he walked this out, as he kept his eyes on God, even when it was difficult, he found that there was purpose and meaning to his suffering, that it was not in vain. What he began to find, that God began to get glory. See, everything in our life is designed to glorify God. Everything. The good things and the bad things. So the number one purpose of why we face suffering is to bring glory to God. Now, at first, that sounds morbid. Again, why? If that's the way it is, God, I don't want to serve you. I want nothing to do with you. But what we'll see is, and really as you read the New Testament, you see that suffering and the word glory are tied together all throughout the New Testament. Let's look at this. Romans 8, we read it just a minute ago. It says, he calls us his children. Then he says, provided we suffer with him, there's our word, in order that we may what? Also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For this light and momentary affliction or suffering is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, there's our word, beyond all comparison. 1 Peter 4, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Ephesians chapter 3, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering, which is for your glory. 1 Peter 1, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved or suffer for by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, friend, our suffering, when it's handled correctly, our response is our responsibility. It brings glory to God. Because what it shows is that God is real to you. He's not just real, he's alive in you. Because you're showing that I am here not by my power, but because of his power. See, today, some of you think you're losing. I'm telling you, your attendance here today shows, it proves that you're winning. Because you could be at home being miserable right now. It's better to be miserable at church than at home. At least you're miserable at the right place. Your very presence here today shows that you're not quitting, that you're not giving up. Because you got out of bed, ladies, you got your makeup on, hopefully you're here, you're rocking and rolling. Men, you got some clothes on, praise the Lord, you need to shave, but you're doing good. You're here. It's showing that you're not giving up and you're not quitting. So take courage today. What you're facing, it will pass. Not that you will ever get over. Like when I say that, I want you to think like, okay, I've lost a child or I lost a friend or a spouse or someone I love. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that, but we'll see here. You're going to be able to tell your story, and it's going to bring glory to God. Now, Job, though, he didn't start out like this. He didn't have the book of Job to read. He didn't know why he was going through this, that his story, what he was facing, was going to bring glory to God. Again, he's just like you and I. As everything was taken from him, guess what? He had questions. God, why is this happening to me? What is going on? Job was hurt. He was confused. He was angry. And he was frustrated. But the amazing thing is, and you often miss this when you read this story. The amazing thing is that when God comes to Job, because God does, he comes to him. When he comes to Job, the first thing you would think that this loving, awesome, magnificent God would do is what? Answer Job's questions. Because Job was asking them, just like you and I probably are asking them. You would think God would come and give every answer to every question that Job was asking. But as you read the story, what you see is God doesn't do any of that. In fact, when he shows up, he starts talking about his creation. I'm sure Job is thinking, God, that makes no sense to me. I don't care about creation. I don't care about the sun and the wind and the stars. I care about what I'm going through. See, you think God would come to him and say, hey, Job, listen, bud. You're going through this. You're going to make it. And your story is going to be read by millions of people. And they're going to get encouragement and make it through difficult situations because of your story. So keep it up, Job. Keep at it, Job. You're doing a great job. He didn't do any of that. He started talking about his creation. But what is missed while you're reading this, especially today, if you're going through something, because of the pain, you can sense it in Job, but you also can, maybe if you're going through it, you can sense it in yourself. Because of the pain and frustration, you often miss something that's so vital to walking through times of suffering. You often miss that God did come to Job. Again, Job was angry at God. He was mad. I could use another word if we wasn't in church today. He was ticked. Job was frustrated. See, God's not like you and I. I don't know about you. When my wife is angry, mad, frustrated, all those things, I don't go close to her. I do what? I go the other way. I go away from her. You guys do that with other people as well. What does God do? We see that God came to Job in his anger, in his frustration. Even when he was pointing all of that to God, God's not afraid of your anger. He's not afraid of your frustration. He wants you to be honest with him. He came to him. He did not just come to him. He came to him, you'll miss this, in the name of Yahweh, the name of the Lord. Now, when I first say that, you're like, well, yeah, I hear that all the time, Lance. Jesus, Lord, all that. I hear that all the time. But what you don't understand is when God comes, you see this in the Old Testament, when God comes in the name of Yahweh, the name of the Lord, what it was an open invitation for that individual to come into a life-giving relationship with God, with this Yahweh. This is why when Jesus shows up on the scene, what does he call himself? He calls himself Lord. Yahweh, not because he wanted to dominate over us, because he was communicating to us, I have an open invitation for you to walk into a life-giving relationship with me. This is what Job is beginning to see. Even though God is not answering my questions, he is opening an invitation to me, to come to me, that I might be in relationship with him. This is amazing. So much so that in Job 42:5, Job says this. He says, I have seen it all. Now, if you're progressing with the story correctly, you're thinking to yourself, Job, what have you seen? All of your questions are not being answered. God is talking about something completely different. You're over here asking all these questions. What in the world have you seen? Why would you say, I have seen it all? See, what you're experiencing here is Job, he actually is telling us he has peace and contentment with what is going on. Because he's beginning to see God's hand move in his suffering, move into what he is walking through. What the suffering did for Job is it led him into a naked faith where he found how to love God for God himself and not what God could do for him. Job began to discover there's something in my heart that loves God for what he does for me and not for God himself. See, friends, I have a problem. Hopefully this is not your problem, but I know it's my problem. Is I want to serve and honor what I like to call a tame God. A God I can control. A God I can tell what to do. Hey, God, why don't you come check with me before this happens to make sure it's all right? A God that I can direct. See, the problem with my heart is I don't want to serve a glorious God. A God that's above my comprehension. Above what I can ask, think, or imagine. That's not the kind of God I really want. I want a God I can control. A God that checks with me. A God that makes sure, hey, yeah, that's all right. You can do that in the world. Yeah, history, yeah, that can happen in history. See, oftentimes this is a kind of God. But when suffering and pain, what we begin to see is God's not a tame God. It's not that he's causing this to happen. It's that there's a reason why. There's something he wants to get. And for Job began to see there's something in my heart that is causing me to want to serve God for what God does for me and not for God himself. Now, that's tough. But again, if we're not there, that's all right. We're going to get there, every single one of us. We'll get there. See, Job began to discover this. It's not like the curtains were never pulled back for Job. He never got his questions answered. But the good news for you and I is the curtain is pulled back for us. See, Job began to discover how committed God was to him. This is what is shown to you and I in Christ. This is why the veil or the curtain has been pulled back for you and I. We get to see the full commitment of God to you and I in Christ. And that right there gives you the power and the ability to commit to him. You know, I've been thinking about what stories to share with you guys as we talk about this. And because oftentimes in facing pain and suffering, it's good to hear other stories of how they got through whatever they were going through. And I read a story here, and I want to read it to you guys, and I think it'll bring encouragement to you. It's actually a woman that's going through a divorce. She says, "I dropped to my knees when I got to the side of my bed. It was time to end the day, but I couldn't yet. The ring had to come off. It was time. That afternoon, a judge had declared my divorce final. That night, it all came to a head, and I experienced a true spiritual crisis. Where was this God I had been counting on? Was he real? If he was, did he even care? I cried out, I could never watch, Lord, someone I love suffer like this and not stop it. God, you say you love me, but I can't square that with what I see happening. Lord, this feels cruel. I've got to know you are who you say you are, or I cannot go on." Confused and feeling hopeless, I got my Bible out the next morning and began to read about God's love and faithfulness to me. I was moved by his unstoppable love that was moving toward me when I was coming to him with nothing to offer. I love this. But weakness, confusion, and need. As I got up off my knees and climbed into bed, I thought, I should get myself a new ring to remind me of this vow I made to the Lord tonight. The next morning, I met with a group of women with whom I had been meeting weekly for prayer. We never talked a lot about what we were going to pray for. We just prayed. During the time of silence with which we always began, I noticed one of the ladies, coming over and kneeling in front of my chair. She took a ring off her finger, held it out to me, and said, "I feel like the Lord wants you to have this ring. He wants you to know that you are his beloved, and he is betrothing himself to you for the rest of your life. He will be your protector and provider. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you forever." The ring she handed me was much more beautiful and valuable than any ring I would have ever gotten myself. I had mentioned nothing about getting a new ring. I can't tell you how many times in the years since a glance at that ring calmed my fear, filled my loneliness, and comforted me in grief. I wanted a ring to remind me of my commitment to the Lord. Instead, I ended up with one that will forever remind me of His commitment to me. I tell you, pain and suffering reveals a lot of who we are and really reveals a lot about our relationship with God. See, pain and suffering shows us that there really is strength right here, that you're stronger than you think you are. But it also shows you really how strong God is to you. Now, here's the thing about Job that we learn. It's kind of like this lady here. The thing I love about Job is even though he was angry, Pastor Ron, you coming up, even though he was mad, even though he was frustrated, he didn't voice his anger, his frustration to his friend, to his mom or dad, to his pastor. He voiced it to God. He took it straight to the throne room of heaven and said, God, I'm upset. What is going on here? I'm angry. See, many of us, we think everything's got to be so right. I got to look good. I got to have everything figured out. Then I can go talk to God. No, God wants you to come in your anger, in your brokenness, in your grief and say, God, I am upset. I'm hurting. Lord, what do I do? At least Job took it to God. It's when you are quiet and you shut down, that's where it's unhealthy, it becomes unhealthy. It's okay to be filled with frustration and anger right now, as long as it's within faith and not outside or against faith. That's when it gets dangerous. But if you're upset and angry, let's go to Him. His arms are open. He wants you to come to Him. You read the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is filled with men and women mad at God, frustrated at Him, asking the why questions, but they took it to Him. You know, I have one more story I want to read to you. Pastor Ron, we doing all right back there? All right, brother. And I'm sorry that these two stories are about relationships. I was trying to find one, really, or some about sickness and maybe losing a loved one, but all I could find, and really, this one that I'm about to read now, I found some other ones, but this one is so good. I think it applies to anything that we may be going through, any pain or any suffering. It's about a wife that has lost her husband. Her husband's cheated on her, left her and her four kids. And she says this, she says, after 4 months, God is beginning to heal me in a way I'm not sure I wanted to be healed. I want to see justice, but it's not mine to inflict. But in the midst of it all, I've come to know God on a different level. To see Him work in a way I'd only heard about. To experience this is quite amazing. I've never had a big tragedy in my life. Never really had to depend on God. I mean, sure, I prayed, I saw God work, but not like this. I never had the need to rely on God. Truly just fall and rest on Him. When I needed God's comfort, the image in my head was me clinging to Jesus and Him hugging me. My image now is me just completely collapsed and Him carrying me, and it is awesome. In the midst of this horrible situation, where my whole identity and where my family has been attacked, I see glimpses of what God is doing and how my life and our lives will be changed. And I get excited to see what I get to be at the end of all this. Like being in a race where it starts to rain and you hit a mud pit. You can't go around it. You have to go through it. And the rain and the mud are weighing you down. You can't go through it fast. You must concentrate on each painful step. But at the same time, something is keeping you upright, compelling you to continue. In the distance, you see what appears to be a sheet of rain, almost like a car wash rinse. And then you see it. The sun is perfectly clear. The person you will be there will be stronger, with more understanding of how to run this race, with satisfaction and peace. Yes, that person is tired, but they also are energized by the experience. I can't wait to use what God has taught me. I can't wait to learn more. I've explained it to my children like this. In every fairy tale, there's always a tragedy. And the protagonist faces that adversity, overcomes it, and thrives because of it. God is giving us our fairy tale. What do you see at the end? Pastor Rich, you can come on up. You know, suffering and pain is very real. And again, if you're not there like this lady, it's okay. You're going to get there. And I want you to understand more than anything today is God is committed to you in Christ. He showed us how committed He is. Talk about pain and suffering. Jesus knows the path of pain and suffering. But today, my prayer is that you realize that He's coming. And you realize He's coming in the name of the Lord. No matter what condition your heart is in today, there's an open invitation for you to grow in your relationship with Him. Amen. Father, we love You so much. And Lord, I know my friends here today. Lord, many of them have walked through or are walking through stuff that's just tough. Lord, we know that life just brings stuff. Stuff that's good, but stuff that's hard to deal with. And Lord, today I just pray first off for my friends that are frustrated and angry. Lord, it's all right. You're saying today it's okay. I'm just asking them, Lord, to be honest with You. And I pray today that they would know they can talk to You in their anger, in their frustration. It's one thing to share it, Lord, with somebody else, but it's another thing to share it with You. So today I pray for the spirit of faith to arise, hope to arise, that to be able to take their pain to You and just simply say, God, help me. Let them see that You're committed to them in suffering than really any other time, God, in their entire life. Your commitment to them is only increased, not decreased because of what is going on. And I pray that that commitment would empower us to be committed to You, sir. Holy Spirit, let Your healing power come. You know, if that's you today, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Just receive it right now. Just receive peace. Receive joy. He's extending that to us today. Receive it in your brokenness and in your pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap as Pastor Richard comes.
Such a great message.